Monday morning, August 20th. So, you ready to get this week started right? I am. In fact, I woke up 8:30 this morning, which is unusual for me. I'm a 9:30 person. But I followed my this new routine I've got where I reach over to see what time it is, and I reach over to my iPhone that's by the bed, and I check the time. And then once I'm looking at the iPhone, I need to do something else with it. So usually I check email. Not the good thing to do, I know, first thing in the morning, but there's rarely anything that I need to handle. I just check it, see what's happening, see if there's any fires I need to put out. That way I can not check it later. It's not the best strategy, I know. I'd rather check email probably noon. But that's what I'm doing because it's the iPhone and I gotta touch it and play with it. Then what do? Is I grab my Twitter and Safari on the iPhone, check that, see what everyone's been saying through the night, because, you know, got a lot of international friends, keep up with them. And then maybe it's on to NewsGator, where I check the feeds and see what's happening in the world. Figured I'd do that a little differently today because got NetNewsWire open here. And what's on in the news, because, you know, lots of stuff's going on. Find out how Hurricane Dean is doing. Killed at least 9 people so far. That's tough. More roadside bombs in Iraq. Gotta love that. That kind of news almost, you don't even feel it anymore. It's just every single day, you know? And it's a shame because you're so removed from it, you don't see it firsthand. You might see it on the news, but it's not in our experience. But man, imagine being over there on either side, on any side, and what must be going on, what must feel like. In fact, what a governor was killed, an Iraqi governor. U.S. media curtails Iraq war coverage. It fell sharply in the second quarter, largely in a drop in coverage of the Washington-based policy debate. Yeah, we don't want to deal with it, so we sweep it under the carpet. Taiwan jet explodes in Japan. Man, it's just nothing but tragedy in the news, you know? It's rare that you say, wow, this happened and this is a great thing that happened, but that's the way it goes. 6 dead in an Oklahoma storm. What a drag. But it's not gonna, you know, this is the way life is. It's not gonna change. People are always gonna die. It's always gonna be tragedy. It's how you deal with tragedy and how you deal with the expectation of tragedy, because we're all going to die at some time or another. You know, that's the whole problem with the neocons, is that whole, what they call precautionary principle. They're, that whatever could happen now needs to be legislated against. And that's, you know, the most dangerous thing in the world, because, well, anything could happen. So basically, you know, you have to be ready for infinity, and then you have to outlaw infinity. In fact, that's a great Onion headline: a Republican Congress votes to outlaw infinity. There's a lot of bad stuff that could happen in there. We just want to get rid of it. Republican Congress outlaws infinity. So, I mean, you know, I guess it's not a good idea to check the news. Okay, I'm into the 4-hour work week. I've been reading it and been wanting to apply more of it to my life. You know, get down. Not 4-hour work week, I don't know so much. I mean, there's criticisms about that book, which I think are valid. The first story that he tells in the book is how he went to China to fight in some competition, and, you know, through all kinds of tricks that, if you went to high school with any wrestlers, you know, what they do. They dehydrate, they eat nothing but watermelon, stuff like that, and then they get in a lower weight class. So then when they once they've weighed in, they eat as much as they can, then they're in a higher weight class and they're wrestling people at the lower weight class, but they're actually, I mean, not of a higher weight class, but they're of a higher weight, so they have an advantage. But everybody does it. So the advantage, I mean, is you might as well just stay 145 because you're still going to be wrestling people who have done the same thing, and they're probably weaker from all of that. In fact, if they do it like a week before the event, they're probably losing valuable muscle and strength. But I mean, so anyway, that's what he did. And then he found a little bit of a trick where if you just push people out of the ring, three times, they were disqualified, you win. So he didn't really fight, he just tricked people. And no one liked him, and he kind of bragged about how everyone hated me because I did this. But, and that's not a very good story because, I mean, it's cheating. It's kind of, it's, I don't know, to me, it's doesn't have much integrity. So that turned a lot of people off in the first thing. Some people didn't think about it too deeply. Fine, it's just a story. I don't think it was the best story to choose for the opening of the book. Then he goes on and he explains this 4-hour work week, which is great in concept. You know, you eliminate all the things like checking email every 5 minutes. It's not important. I've been pretty good about it. I don't open email all the time. Sometimes if I'm in the middle of a project, I'll leave it open. Sometimes if I don't have anything to do, I'll leave it open, and you know, that's when I could be doing more valuable stuff. So those are the kinds of bad habits that I want to work on with email. But email's never been a big problem. In fact, what I just did and I talked about, I think it was Friday, totally removed all of my spam. I'm set, okay? This is the best thing in the world. I figured it out from iPhone, the missing manual, how to send all of my email to Gmail. And I knew you could do this. I don't know why I never did it before, but Gmail spam filters work. I've had to train, I trained them, the spam filters, maybe one day, and I keep looking and it'll catch something, but never anything important. So do it. If you've got a regular domain that you own, just forward your email to, don't forward, but add that account to Gmail. It'll rock. So I'm always about systems and efficiency and stuff, and I've done that with email. So eliminate, that's the one thing. The other thing is automate. I'm a huge automator. If anyone has been reading my Integral blog, you'll know that I love doing a little Apple script that will save me, you know, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, just all this clicking around. It makes it a nice friction-free environment, and you can get a lot of work done and save a lot of time. So you can, you know, dick around on email or Facebook or whatever your other guilty pleasures are. Then, you know, the whole thing of finding your muse, finding your job that you can make a good amount of money on, and automating it so you only have to spend about 4 hours a week. And then these ideas of mini retirements, retirements where you take 2, 3 months off or 3 weeks off or whatever's comfortable for you in the middle of your, you know, year. So if you've got everything set up, you can really do kinds of cool stuff like this. And I believe in that, and I've been wanting to do that. I'm at the opposite end of the spectrum right now. I'm still trying to find the business that can sustain something like that without me having to babysit it. So that's kind of what I'm working on. And my second cup of coffee for the day. And so the 4-hour work week, yeah, I shouldn't be doing these things first thing in the morning because he advocates a media diet, trying it out. And I haven't done it yet, but I've done little mini diets. And I'm not checking my feed reader as much as I used to. I don't leave it on. I check it once, maybe twice a day, but just once is I think once is enough. I mean, unless you have to keep up because you're in journalism or something like that, then, you know, once is enough to read the news. And believe me, most of my news isn't world news, which is nothing but disasters. In fact, most of my news is from like the Delicious Popular and Dig and stuff like that, where you get a nice, you get a lot of odd news and fun stuff and stuff that'll make you laugh and pictures that aren't safe for work and things like that. That's the kind of news that I truly enjoy. But the media diet, you don't want to do this stuff first thing in the morning, because then your head is filled with open loops. Perhaps, like, since I checked my email, I know that there's a couple people that want responses to something. Well, now that's in my head. I mean, I should just go ahead and deal with it now so it's out of my head and I don't have to worry about it. But that's not my schedule for the day, for this day anyway. And so maybe I've got to find something else that I can do on the iPhone when I wake up in the morning. But I think it's an important principle to figure out what kind of diet you are on, informational diet, especially first thing in the morning, because it's going to color the rest of your day. You know, if you're reading about how many Iraqis have died and how many soldiers have died and how many, hurricane victims have died, boy, that's going to make for a bummer day. And I hope I didn't bring you guys down when after that great, fantastic Monday morning song, and then you listen to me talk about how many people are dead. It's something you need to keep. We do. I think we should talk about and keep the dialogue open. And Monday morning, as well as any other morning, is probably a good enough time as any for speaking of such issues. But if I brought you down, I'm sorry. But that be the news. And I at least got to talk about the precautionary principle, which most people really don't know about, this whole idea of governing according to what could happen. And then the whole way you can manipulate the culture is by putting all this fear out there, all these ideas of what could happen. Well, this could happen, and this could happen, and this could happen. And then pretty soon it's like, oh my God, this could happen. And if you saw the news stories, they would walk through a supermarket down any aisle and say, basically, in any of these things, it could be used as a bomb. And so now everyone's scared of everything. It doesn't make any rational sense. It only makes emotional sense that you're afraid. And this is when you're trying to protect people. I'm doing something noble. I'm trying to protect everybody because everything is possibly a weapon to be used against them. But you know what? People are going to die from tragic causes. Not that we shouldn't do anything about it, but let's not give false hopes that the world is going to be a completely safe place, a utopian society, you know? And it's kind of funny how this works. I mean, the Republicans call the left, call the liberals, they call them utopian because they want to live in a world that has equal rights and where there's no poverty and everyone has health care and stuff like that. And the left looks at the right as, well, I don't need to go into that, but the right ends up looking, well, everyone tries to portray themselves as realists and as optimists, and in both cases they are true. That's what's funny about the whole thing to me, that they're both partially optimists, partially realists, and they will stand up and say, "I'm a realist. I'm a optimist," when the situation suits them, serves them. But the precautionary principle that anything could happen, so let's legislate against anything, is very dangerous. And Republican Congress tries to ban infinity. That's, to me, pretty funny. But the rest of my day, I'm going to the gym as soon as I finish this second cup of coffee and as soon as I get this little podcast up. And then I'm coming home and I'm working with my partner. We got a lot of work to do on a new project that I'm really excited about. So I'm gonna get to it, and I'm gonna leave you with one of my own funky jams that pumps me up to get to the gym. So dig it.